a wide range of topics, an even wider range of views. Talk About on Radio Kerry.
Now we are talking to renowned Kerry man, poet, bon vivant, what else will we call you? Gabriel Fitzmaurice. He is turning 70 very shortly, in a few weeks' time, in early December. And we're talking about roundy birthdays, birthdays with a zero, the ageing process, all of that. And this is ahead of a lovely celebration that's been planned for Gabriel in Listowel very shortly. And we'll come to that in a minute or two. I've been asking listeners what their recipe is for enjoying life into your 70s and beyond. One person says plenty of music, song, dance and a few scoops, Gabriel.
I would agree totally.
Yeah, you can't go too far wrong with that. The other thing I was going to mention to you was, I was just doing a little bit of research ahead of talking to you. Rod Stewart is 7 years older than you. And he is heading off on a world tour summer, and he has announced tickets for it.
That's right.
So, and Joe Biden, who is older again, I think if he's not 80, he's not far off it. Yeah. He hasn't ruled out another run for the White House.
And Bob Dylan is still doing gigs. He must be 80 now, surely.
I'd say he's beyond it as well. So, it's interesting too, isn't it, how our attitudes to ageing have changed?
Oh, totally. Yeah, like you're as old as you feel, or you're as young as you feel, and mainly the feeling comes from up in your head. I mean, the physical thing is there, but you can be physically fine, and you can be morose. Oh, I'm 70 years of age. Oh my God, look, I'm an old man now, or I'm an old woman. Oh, for God, get over it. You know, come on.
And do you feel the world has changed massively? And you sometimes wonder, and feel like you're being left behind, or have you kind of embraced technology and all the new things that have happened and all the changes that have come?
Well, I can use a computer. You need to nowadays in my job as a writer. I recently got a smartphone. I was resisting for years, but all I wanted to do was talk and text. But I was out in America. I was lecturing and doing workshops and readings in Skidmore University up in upstate New York. And my wife and my sister-in-law persuaded me, you cannot get out there without a smartphone. And all right, they were. In New York Airport, you cannot order a sandwich and a beer without a smartphone. They won't take money, they won't take an order without you going through the technology. So just as well that I I relented. But the world has changed.
Massively.
Utterly.
Yeah.
Utterly. Like, when I grew up, there was no electricity in rural my van. We had electricity in the village, but there was no electricity in the outlying farms. There were no toilets. You went to take an acid, as they say back West Kerry. You went to the donkey's house to do your business. There was no showers. There was no computer. There was no television. Very few people had radios. There was no mobile. Nobody had a phone in the house. When I grew up in my van at the start, my van one was the post office. My van two was the barrack, and my van three was the creamery.
Was it. Those are the numbers.
Yeah, that was it.
And most people didn't have a phone.
No. Only three phones in the village. The creamery was thriving at the time. Huge volume of farmers coming in. I think there's three farmers. No, there is more than three farmers supplying my van creamery. But they're bigger farmers now. And there's only three farmers coming to the creamery to physically deliver milk in the morning now. There were 14 shops in my van when I grew up. Little groceries. They also had other businesses, like small farms maybe, or a pub or something attached to the grocery. My father and mother only had the grocery. And times were tough, like. Children have changed, of course. They're far more... You know, people giving out about children. Jesus, I wouldn't give out about them. They have an awful time now. Like, when I grew up as a teenager, the worst I could do was smoke and get drunk. Now the drugs. They're a huge worry. And all the internet stuff as well, that they can fill their heads with all sorts of negative stuff and pornography and grooming. And it's an awful world they're growing up into. Now, when I say it's an awful world, you can make the world good for yourself if you avoid all that stuff and think positively and meet the right friends and, you know, meet the right people and play games and all that's available still to children. Like, for instance, our grandchildren, we were talking about it, like they play basketball, they play football, they play soccer, they play rugby, and all that's available. But the traps, the pitfalls are very, very, very real, and it's a different world. For instance, just talking about John B. Keane's play of The Field, the Moss Moor murder, that was a wonder. Like, nobody had heard of a murder in Kerry for years before that. Now there's a murder every night in television. It's
and two some days, real.
Do you know? Kind of. It's so hot now. It was a big story one time, but now it's just an item on the news.
Of course, you've lived through a period of, and I don't want to make you seem like Methuselah either. You've lived through a period of massive social change as well, in terms of people's outlook and attitudes, even the influence the church had on people, on social issues,
yes,
and that.
You've absolutely
seen some amount
absolutely
of change.
I mean, I don't want to draw up now beyond what it's worth, but the Father Sean Sheehy incident, like I'm a Catholic, I don't agree with him, I'm a liberal, but I agree that he is actually stating the position of the church. I am very interested in religion, very interested in the catechism and the Bible and the New Testament especially. But when Pope John Paul II brought out the new catechism for the Catholic Church, I bought it. I have it myself at home. I go through it now and again. And all the things Father Sheehy said are still in the catechism. So whether we decide to go down that road or decide that God is love, and like my way of looking at it is God made us all. We were taught in catechism going a million years ago when I was going to school that God made us all in his likeness and image. So if we're all made in God's likeness and image, if we're gay, that's in God's likeness and image. If we're transgender, that's in God's likeness and image. And God loves us all. That's how I see it.
Very beautifully put, Gabriel. I couldn't have put it better myself. Can I ask you about the big scary world beyond this world? I think as we all get older, and I'm no spring chicken either, I suppose we're thinking we're moving ever more towards our own demise. Do you ever think about that? Do you think a roundy birthday, as we've been calling it?
Oh, I do.
Putting that in perspective.
To be honest with you, I'd be lucky if I meet my next roundy birthday. A lot of the Cunninghams, my mother's people, died in their 70s. A lot of the Fitzmaurices died in the early 80s. I have an Anne Peg, the last one of the 14 in my father's family. She's 95 and she's living in Watford outside London. So I might make it into my 80s. But like, if I get 10, as I said to Jimmy Deanhan recently, you know, Jimmy,
he's also 70.
My good friend. We went to school together. And actually, we share the distinction of being Kerry County College champions at the wheelbarrow race. Jimmy was pushing me. So that's my claim to fame with Jimmy. But I said to Jimmy, geez, Jimmy, what he's off by, you know? Like, we have 10 good years. These are our years. We've been serving the community. I've been serving the community. He more so. I said, you've been doing that for the last 50 years. Let's take 10 years for ourselves. And he agreed.
It'll be very hard to get Jimmy Deanhan to slow down, I'd say.
I think he should.
Exactly. Well, listen, let's move on to what's coming up in St. John's, because there's a lovely celebration of your life so far, and there's a lot more chapters of it to go, happening in St. John's very soon.
It's on tomorrow night in St. John's at 8 o'clock, and Cara Trent and David Brown and the board of the Kerry Writers Museum decided they'd celebrate my 70th birthday, and I was surprised, and I was wondering why me, because like a poor village schoolmaster, but no, they said fine, you know, you make the grades, oh grand. So I agreed, and they have Eileen Sheehan the poet, and Theodorgan the poet, and Joe Slade the poet from Limerick, celebrating me. They have Cara Trent singing, they have Mickey McConnell singing, they have my dear friend Donny O'Sullivan that I played with 50 years ago and kept playing until COVID, and Dermot O'Brien flute and fiddle. They have Richard Casey from Causeway and his troupe of musicians. Daro Canary is coming, Michal de Morgue is coming, who else? That's about it, I think.
A great lineup.
There's a great lineup there, and I'm glad to see. Like, I've always thought that the relationship between Corcaguine, West Kerry, the Irish language, and the English language of North Kerry, those two writers are really, there's a great relationship between us. Brian McMahon translated Peg. The most unknown one of us all is Tim Enright, who translated Tomás O'Crihan, Sean O'Crihan and Micheál O'Gohín for Oxford University Press. And myself, I've translated quite a bit. And I'm glad that Micheál and Dad are coming up, because I like to see that old bit of relationship between the Gaeilge and the English and the writers of Kerry in Gaeilge and English. And yeah, it'll be a great night tomorrow night. And you know, we'll have a few scoops after it. There'll be, like you said, that, like that reader said there, music, dancing, a few scoops. We'll have that tomorrow night.
That's all any of us need to keep us going. Gabriel, will you give us a poem before you leave us?
I will.
And tell us why you chose this one.
I'll tell you. You were asking me yesterday, did I have a poem about getting old? And, geez, I do, you know. I just find it here. Many years ago, in 2015, I wrote my last poem. Remember, I published a book called A Farewell to Poetry. And I meant it. And for 6 years, I didn't write a damn thing. And I resisted. I still get the inspiration and the lines come to me, but I resisted them. But we had a big anniversary there last year, Brendan and myself, 40 years married, on the 17th of August. And the lines came to me, and I said, I'm going to have to write something for this to mark the occasion of the 40th anniversary. So I wrote the poem and I gave it to Brenda. I got a card made in the Stowell Printing Works of the poem and gave it to Brenda. And by God, didn't I pluck up courage, and I sent it to the Irish Times, and they published it. And for Valentine's weekend last year. And some fella wrote in the following day, that was a Saturday, wrote in the Monday, and the letter appeared on Tuesday, that I'd saved his Valentine's Day for him, that he's forgotten to get a Valentine card for his wife. He saw the poem in the paper, he cut it out, pasted it onto a piece of cardboard, gave it to his wife, and she was delighted.
Aww.
So this is called Old Lovers. This is for Brendan and myself.
Lovely.
And I wrote it for our 40th anniversary. This is how it is between old lovers. A peck upon the lips is all they need. Where once was youthful lust between bed covers, how closely youthful lust resembles greed. This is how it is between old lovers. Lifelong friends together holding hands. Together there's a peace that they discover, the kind old lovers truly understand. This is how it is between old lovers, shopping with their grandchildren for toys. All that age has lost, they now recover, the jaded world returned to surprise. For this is how it is between old lovers, life reserved for them its greatest joys.
That is so romantic, Gabriel. It's beautiful.
Thank
Absolutely
you very much.
Absolutely beautiful.
Gets me the old brownie points.
When you
are playing music and singing and you have a guitar and you stay out late, you need all the brownie points you can get.
I'll bet you do. Was she delighted with that, was she?
Well, she was. Of course she was.
Ah, very good. Well, listen, it has been such a pleasure. I love your poetry, and
Thank
I always
you,
love meeting you and chatting to you. And judging by the flood of comments we're getting in, the listeners love hearing you too.
So listen, thank you very much.
Have a fantastic birthday, and I know you're going to be around for a long time to come entertaining us.
And I want to thank the people of Listowel and My Van for their support down through the years. I want to thank Writers Week, which made me really. I want to thank St. John's, and I want to thank especially the Writers Museum for organising this tomorrow night. Thank you very much.
It's going to be a great night. Gabriel Fitzmaurice, thank you so much for popping into studio.
Talk About on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney, working closely with suppliers to produce only the finest quality, locally sourced meat and fish for our menus.